as we try to bring to you the word that God has laid on our heart this morning, that we would be encouraged, uplifted, and that we would be able to receive strength from the word of God. This book is my strength. When I can't, he can. And there's times that we want to stop, and the Lord says, go on. Take another step. Times that we're ready to throw in the towel, so to speak, and God catches it and throws it back at us and says, you're not done yet. Amen. In the book of Psalms, 37th chapter, if you would go there with me this morning, and let's start reading at verse 1. Verse 1, chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Stop reading there in verse 8 this morning. Taking our thought from verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it also to pass. He shall bring it to pass. This morning I'd like to bring to you a message about commitment. Commit. And we take and put the extension on the word commit and make it commitment, to where that we see that there are things that many are committed to in this life. Folks are committed to their jobs, they're committed to their families, they're committed to the things that are really important to them. And David is teaching us here that we need to commit ourselves unto the Lord. It's more than just being saved. More than being just saved. As I thought this week, and especially on Saturday, I guess it was, how many of you made New Year resolutions? And I don't see any hands going up. I'm just trying to make it through, aren't you? But there is one thing that I think that we all ought to want to do, and that is to be more committed to God than we've ever been. And you think that commitment means that you're here every service. There is more to being committed to God than just being in the house of the Lord. You see, I believe that most of us today are saved, but we need to take it to the next level. Can I get an amen? Amen. To where we need to seek a deeper relationship with God than we've ever had. To know him is to love him. And many have a surface knowledge of God. They do not have the relationship that God wants to have with us, to where it's more than just call on God when you need something, to speak his name when things are good. But we need to get to the point to where we are no longer just satisfied in being saved, But we want to know him like we have never known him, to that next level. And it is unfortunate that for many of us today, to get to know God at the next level, there are hard times that we have to walk through. Nowhere in the book, or maybe I should say scarcely in the book, do I find where anyone had a deep relationship with God that they did not first have to go through some dry and barren places. Sometimes it takes God bringing us to our knees for us to see that there is something missing in our relationship with him. Sometimes it takes a wake-up call that God says, I want you to know me like I know you, in such a way that many of us that have been married any time at all, we can almost answer each other's sentences that they start. We can almost tell you how they feel or what they want to eat or what they don't want to eat, because our relationships has grown to such a level that, as the writer said, that we almost, the two become one. When the Lord says that, commit our way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, that God wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. We want our preachers and our pastors, our teachers and our deacons to have this super strong relationship with God. But in order for the church to be prosperous, it takes all of us having that relationship with God. Because there's times when I come in that I'm not very spiritual. There's times that you may come in that you're not very spiritual. But all it takes is a reminder of the relationship we have with God. And a frown can become a smile. A broken heart can be mended. And we can rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, knowing that we have full commitment. God is fully committed to us. Amen. Jesus Christ is fully committed to us. That if we have any need, whatsoever it may be, we can ask of him, and he will deliver it. You say, Roger, do you really believe that? I believe that with all my heart today. The more we're committed to him, the more he wants to do for us. I have children like many of you, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do hardly for my children. I would go to the ends of this earth to try to help them in any way that I can. But there are some things that I cannot do for them. I cannot do it. But today I've come to tell you about a God who is committed to each and every one of us, and there is nothing that our God cannot do. Everything you have need of, God can take care of it. You need healing? Ask Brother Ron. He'll tell you God can heal. And I've got others in the house this morning, do I not? You got a broken heart that needs mended. God can take care of that. You will never get over the loss. But God is able to give you peace down below the collarbone, that I miss them, I love them, but I know that one day we shall meet again when this life shall come to an end. You see, the Bible gives us many examples of people that as their commitment to God got stronger, they did great things for the Lord. Moses thought he was great when he was in Pharaoh's house. But it took him going out to the desert land for 40 years for God to exalt him, because while he was out there tending sheep for his father-in-law, his relationship with God grew to such a level that never would have happened in Pharaoh's house. Has anybody else ever had to walk through those dry, barren places to get to where you're at today? And that relationship, once you go through that and that relationship starts building, there's no stopping place. We sing a song every once in a while that says, I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about my Savior today, my God that I serve. And the deeper my commitment goes to Him, it's not just about church attendance. If this is the only relationship you have with God, you're missing out on a whole lot more. I want to tell you, He's also there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And God is not a God that sits up there just waiting for us to make a mistake so He can punish us. But God wants us to have the good things along this journey. And the good things doesn't necessarily mean the bank account or the car or the house. It means the relationship that we have with God, that I can go to Him at any time of any day and say, Lord, it's me again. And He knows my voice. He knows your voice today. I wish that America would recommit back to God. And we would see this relationship grow. You see, we've got God stuck in a closet somewhere. And we only open the door when we need something. Well, Dottie Rambo sang a song many years ago that said it like this: I didn't come today to ask for anything. I come to thank Him for what He's already done. And the relationship that we have. And I want my relationship with God to be even stronger. But I believe that we all ought to want a relationship like we've seen in days past with our mothers and fathers and church members and preachers and deacons, that you just looked at them and knew that they had a relationship with God. God heard their prayers. Hallelujah. God heard their request and heard their words of praise and honor and glory unto God, because they had such a relationship with God that you could almost see the presence of God all over them. Anybody know what I'm preaching about this morning? But that is not confined to past times. God is the same today as He was then. God has not changed. We have changed. America has become more committed to the things of this world, and we put God in the back of the order. I say it's time that we put God back to the front of the line and can make a commitment to God that, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. We shall serve the Lord. But our relationship with God is not dependent upon the house. It's dependent individually. And I'd like to see a relationship with God in this coming year to where, like I've never had before, wouldn't you, for yourself today? That we would grow stronger. And as we grow stronger, it will won't cause others to want to grow stronger. I look at some of you this morning, how over the years you have grown. You've gone from being on the bottle all the time, on the milk of the word, that you have grown up and you've tasted the goodness of God and the meat of the word. And I don't want to go back to the milk, do you? But I want that meat of the word, even though sometimes it's hard to chew. Sometimes it's hard for us to digest. But how good it is to taste the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Ezekiel, in the 47th chapter, he gives us an example of what I want to use today for a relationship, commitment with God, how it grows. And he's talking about the water that came underneath the threshold. And the water, when the door was open, they went there to the edge of the river. How that the water was so, river was wide and it was deep. But I want you to look at this relationship, Brother Charlie, how we can grow in God. When Ezekiel first got into the water, it was only to the ankles. Oh, this will preach, won't it? See, sometimes our relationship, our commitment is to God that I'll go with you as long as I feel comfortable. We get out to the ankles and we say, that's as far as I want to go. Then there are others that went even deeper into the water. And Ezekiel said that in verse 4 that it got up to the knees. He went from the ankles all the way to the knees, trusting God. Do you trust the Lord today to walk into these places with Him? When you're totally committed to Him and He's totally committed to you, you know that no harm can befall you. But he kept on walking. That's how I feel spiritually this morning. Sometimes I feel like I'm in it up to my ankles. Sometimes I feel like I'm up to my knees. But Ezekiel went on and it came up to his loins. Got so deep that, you know, the water can push you around. It can take you one way or another, and you got to watch for the undercurrents. But Ezekiel said, my relationship with God is that I trusted Him when I was in ankle deep. I trusted Him when I was up to my knees. And now that I'm up to my loins, I trust my Lord. But Ezekiel did not stop there. He said he got in to where the water was so deep that he could not stand. And he could only swim to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like I'm standing. Sometimes I feel like I'm just waiting. And then other times I feel like the Holy Spirit is just pushing me over to the other side. Because of our relationship with God, I know He did not fail me when I was ankle deep. He did not fail me when I was up to the knees or up to the loins. And certainly today I can preach, God will not fail me this close to home. As we get closer, our relationship gets so much stronger. To where there's not many people I put a whole lot of trust in. But I put my whole heart in this man called Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the Lord said, Brother Wayne Pennington, in the book of Revelations, in the 3rd chapter, in the 20th verse, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I know what Jesus said when the disciples said, Lord, you need to eat. And He said, I have food that you know not of. Sometimes we think that was a morsel maybe that He had tucked away. But there are times, I tell you, when I feel what I feel in my heart today, I'd rather eat from the table of God than I have from any table that has ever been set before me, because it shows the commitment that God has to us to feed us. He not only saved you and that was the end of it, but He wants us to grow and grow and grow and just keep growing till we come to the end of this life, and then we'll go home to be of the Lord. In John the 13th chapter, in the 8th verse, Jesus was talking to the apostles there, and He was talking
to them about washing of their feet. Now, we are a Baptist church. And Peter said unto him, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered unto him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Look at this commitment and growth. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Now I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament. What Peter was referencing was in the Old Testament when the priests became anointed. They would anoint the man of God. They would anoint him on his head and on his hands and on his feet. Many years ago, I preached a message, and it was not just about the anointing, but it was the ordaining of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this. They say that he was anointed while he was here. You remember the woman with the alabaster box that anointed him. But some say that he was never ordained. I want you to know that when he was hung on the cross at Calvary, there was blood on his head. There was blood on his feet, and there was blood on the palms of his hands. He was anointed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. See, Peter was saying, Lord, I don't want just a superficial relationship. I want a relationship to where I know that you're with me every step of the way. God does not want to be a distant savior or friend, but he wants to be with you every step of the way of your journey on this world, in this world. But we need to be committed to God as well. Not just a commitment that is, when everything's going good, I'll be there. Or when I feel like it, I'll be there. But how about we get so committed to God that when I feel good, I'll be there. When I don't feel so good. I mean, how many of us this morning can say that we're 100%? Every one of us probably has some kind of frailty this morning, do we not? When things are good, Lord, I'll be there. But what about when things aren't so good? When things are bad? When things are so uncertain? When I get that certain job, then I'll be there. When I get to a certain age, then I want that relationship with God. You may never reach that age. Every one of us this morning is living on borrowed time. We don't know. This may be our last message. But if it is, I want you to know I am totally committed to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I have a relationship with him like none other. My kids are behind my relationship with God. My wife is behind my relationship with God. My dad and my brothers and sisters, they're all in line. You know who's first? God Almighty. Because he said he would not be second or third. He must be first. Anybody else want to make God your first priority with a commitment to him like Ezekiel? Lord, you've never left me. You've never allowed me to walk one step by myself. But I believe this with all my heart from the time that I stepped out behind the pew and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. He has walked every step along this journey. And if he is that committed to me, ought I not also need to be that committed to him? How many of you want to grow in this new year? Grow to a level that you've never been at before. See, there's some today that we need to make a recommitment to God. We might have some in the house this morning that need to make that commitment to God. Lord, you died for me. I believe that you died and you arose, and therefore I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. I know it's not popular in the workplace. I know it's not popular in the schoolhouse. It's not popular in the neighborhood that you are a born-again child of God. But I want to stand for my Lord and Savior because He stood for me. He stood for you. And of all the things in this world that we have been committed to, how many of you have ever been committed to something and it only let you down? Many of us today in the workplace commit our heart and soul to the job only to be let down. Did you know they can do without you? In fact, the day you walk out, they probably already got your job posted. Amen? We need them to make a living. But folks, let me tell you about a Savior today that I am not only committed to Him, but He's committed to me. You know what He said? I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of this world. How many of you know you're never alone? No, never alone. My Jesus is with me wherever I roam. I hold to His hand. Hallelujah. And I lean on His arm, because every one of us today needs somebody that we can count on. Not just physically, but spiritually. The devil will let you down. God will not let you down. This world will let you down. God will not let you down. In this first Sunday in 2022, I've got to get used to saying it. I almost said it wrong, didn't I? We are going to face things, no doubt, like we've never faced before. I've heard some say, Brother Ray, that 21 was a very hard year, and it was. But if I look back over the years, it seems like every year gets harder and harder. I'm glad I've got somebody with me to help bear my load. Amen. I'm glad that I've got someone that many years ago I decided I wanted to be more than just a person who could say that they were saved. I want to have the unction of the Holy Spirit, that when I talk about Him, folks can tell that I mean what I'm talking about. I want a relationship that when I pray, that I'm confident that God hears and will answer my prayers. I want a relationship in such that when people look at us, they know something is different. You don't have to wear a placard. You don't have to wear a large sign or something that says, I'm a born-again child of God. They ought to be able to know it just by watching your life and my life today. But even in the best of times, there's some times that we just have to say, forgive me, Lord. Amen. You know, I'm trying to find a hushing place, but let me throw this in for good measure. We all want to be liked. We all want to be liked and have friends. But I've come to the point in my life, let them talk about me. Let them speak all kinds of evil against us. Because you see, it matters to me more about what God says about me than whatever man may say. Amen. Because you see, Man just makes suppositions based upon what they see. God knows you inside and out. He knows your thoughts early in the morning. He knows your thoughts at midday and even at the night hour. God knows your intentions today. So sometimes before we can be commit ourselves unto God, as he said here in the scripture reading, we first must get our actions in line. And the only way we can get our actions in line is by depending upon God. I've seen some or heard some say, in the church house, that before I came to know God, I was a mean person. And still, every one of us that's been born again, how many of us today have thoughts that you ought not have? There's times I want to hurt somebody, amen? When I think about what these people are doing to these little children, my fire begins to burn. When I think about what our government says is legal, that goes contrary to the word of God, my fire begins to burn. But sometimes I have to say, Lord, help me in my relationship with you to know that God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Sometimes if I could pray fire down, people would be in trouble. And some of you today say, I didn't know our pastor was so mean-spirited. How many of you have ever been hurt? How many of you have ever been hurt at the hands of a trusted friend? How many of you today have ever been forsaken to where those that was with you, you look around and no one could be found? Because their commitment to you was superficial. It was based upon what they could get from you at the time. But our commitment to God is, God don't want anything that you have other than you. Oh, that's, isn't that good? Oh. God don't want your money. He don't want your house. He don't want your car. He don't want your job. You know what he wants in this new year? He wants more of you and less of the world. Less of the world in you, that you might draw nearer unto him. If we'll draw nearer to God, as he said in the book of Revelations, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh unto you. The closer we get to God, the closer God gets to us. Amen. And I say this morning, and don't y'all take it the wrong way. It's like a young couple, especially a young couple, maybe they just got married. They just can't get enough of each other. They're hand in hand, arm in arm. They just love each other with all their heart. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I've never been, I've never been an exhibitionist. And that my love for Becky is not for show. Amen. But I promise you that are young, and some of you that are just youngly married, that there comes a point in life where your relationship with each other grows to such a level, and I tell you, it's because of love that grows. And it gets to the point, you better find somebody that loves you, cares for you, because you're going to have some dark days. You're going to have some bad reports. And if God tarries his coming and allows you to live, you're going to need somebody by your side that truly loves you. Amen. But even though the whole world may forsake me, I still have someone by my side. And I want to be so confident that no matter what I go through, God will always be there for me. He will always be there for you. But let me close with this final thought. Robin Sharon gets us a song. Are you as committed to God as God is committed to you? Do you have that relationship with Him like God wants to have with you? God don't want a part-time relationship. God doesn't want a relationship that is there today and gone tomorrow. You know, we've got a host of people today that used to be so committed unto God. And COVID has caused a lot of them to drop by the wayside. Man, can I say this morning? If we allow a virus to separate us from God, what would we have done when the plagues hit Israel or Egypt? What we have done if we got out to the Red Sea and here come Pharaoh's mighty army behind us to kill us? What would our commitment and relationship been with God then? We think that we've gone through a lot. Go back and read what our forefathers went through. And you know how they made it? Because they was totally committed to God and to His Word. Poor old John. His relationship with God was such that he preached the truth. And because he would not back off from the truth, it cost him his life. How many others? In fact, if you go back and study, you'll find that all the apostles lost their life because of their stand for God. They lost their lives. They was martyred. You and I today, while we have the freedom to have this relationship with God, we ought to want it more than we want anything else in this world. Because this is what will get you through. This will what get you through. And while everybody else is throwing up their hands, God's people can walk through on solid ground, knowing God, can I preach this morning? God is still on His throne. He is still in control. And He wants to help you with your commitment unto Him. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. How is your relationship with God? Is it strong or is it weak? Is it one that you'd like to see better? Then there's no better time than the first Sunday of the year to get it started with God in the right direction. One verse, Robbie, if you would. Anybody need to recommit to God? Or those that may need to just commit their life unto God and be saved by His marvelous grace. How about it today? Are you totally committed? Or is there things that you're holding back in your relationship with God? How about it this morning? Anybody at all that would like to make that step? Because you see, it's not something that you can just decide tomorrow or Tuesday that you'd like to change. How many of you know, first of all, you can't change unless you want to change? Yeah. Amen. I've got a nephew that this morning is on his way to Tennessee. I believe this is his third or fourth treatment center that he's gone to for his addiction. And as I talked to him yesterday, for a few minutes of time, You see, when I was growing up, if anybody had an addiction, they was embarrassed about it. The family tried to hide it as much as they could. Right? Today we live in a different time to where people boast almost. You know what? I look at him and others, and you know what I say? If only they would commit their life to Jesus Christ, they wouldn't need that addiction center. And I know I'm walking on ice this morning. But you know, how many of y'all know that I've been to an AA meeting? Does anybody else know that this morning? I didn't go for myself. I went because a guy asked me to go with him. And one of the things that they do in AA is that they, as they go around the table, they'll say their name and they'll say, "I'm an alcoholic." Even though some of them have been in sobriety for years, they're committed to that treatment process. Let me tell you this morning, if my nephew could only get a hold of God and commit his life into the hands of an almighty God, he wouldn't need to go to that treatment center. He would not need to stand up and say, "My name is, and I'm an alcoholic." You know why? Because God would change his life completely. You say, does that mean you have to give up drinking? You just got to change the wells from which you're drinking from. And God can do that for you. Man cannot do that for you. I ask you today, as we sing just one more verse of a song. Some people say, "I would never confess that in front of people." How many of you got people that you know need help from God? They need help from God. See, nobody will ever tell you, the devil certainly won't tell you, one drink can lead to an addiction. He won't tell you that one time using drugs will lead to, and could lead to, even up to an addiction and death. He won't tell you the end of the story. You see, God, he reveals the whole book to us. It tells us not only what we have here, but what we'll have in the future as well. One verse today. Bring your cares to the Lord and get committed unto him as your Lord and Savior. Anybody at all today that needs to take that step, saying, "God, I depend on you with everything I have." Anybody at all this morning, God has spoke to your heart and you need to make that move. I did not cover it in a message, but maybe it would be a message for another day. As children of Israel became less committed to God and their relationship began to sever, the Bible says from Malachi all the way to Matthew, there was 400 years that they never heard from God. 400 years. No prophets, no judges, no priests. Because Israel, if I can use that as a large group of people, there was Gentiles in there as well. They had offered up things that God would not accept as sacrifices because they weren't whole. They offered up animals that was broken legs, blind. There was deformities. There was something wrong with them. And God said, "I've had it." And the relationship was severed until here come one walking out of the wilderness. Oh. Preaching with baptism unto repentance. And they said, "Wow, look at this guy, Ray. This guy looks weird. He eats weird things. But listen to how he talks. He's got power. And John looked at them and said, if you think this is something, you wait till you see who's coming after me. Oh, I got to stop. But you can, I appreciate the Lord. Don't you appreciate him this morning? Thankful for what I feel in my heart and my soul. Come back tonight at 6:30. Six. I don't know. I can't get things straight. My brain's a little foggy this morning. But 6 o'clock tonight. Even when it's not foggy, I can't get things straight. But I've got a real reason now. But come back tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, listen up, folks. Amen. And on that same note, the other two families that we helped all sent word of thanking the church that without your gift, they would have been no Christmas. Bills wouldn't have been paid. A way of providing wouldn't have been there. So your gifts, as you've heard Checky so eloquently say, these have gone a long way in helping people today. And always hold on to that verse. It is much more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring back business meeting tonight. Okay, following the service. Thank you for reminding me, Brother Ron. And bring back your commitment to God. Would you do that?